The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
We think it's good every now and then to revisit the whole purpose, mission, and mandate of the New Testament church, as that would even relate to Wellspring of Life Church. It's important we revisit that. It's good that we revisit and be reminded and sort of be given the opportunity to re-up, if I could use that phrase, with regards to our purpose. Because, you see, our purpose as a church also translates into our purpose as individual followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it is good that we do that. The purpose of the church, and undeniably the purpose of every believer, isn't a mystery. The Bible is very clear, up front, black and white, about that mission and that mandate for us. Jesus basically laid it down toward the end of his earthly ministry when he spoke the words that we find in Matthew 28, a passage that most of you are familiar with. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We find Jesus laying it down in terms of here's what it is. And then he's going to let his disciples know, as just as he lets us know, that he has not only given us the mission, but he has also made available to us all of the tools and everything that you and I need to do it. And so he tells them, just after his resurrection, in Luke 24, he begins to let them in on it, and he tells them, you're going to preach this word. You're going to preach repentance and forgiveness, and you're going to start in Jerusalem, and then you're going to go out to the nations and to the end of the world. And then we find him reiterating that very same idea, the mandate, the mission, just after the resurrection and just before his ascension. Again, a passage you're familiar with, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so he reiterates, I think, letting us know that it's important to Jesus. If you were about to, if you were the Son of God and you were about to ascend and go back to where you came from, heaven, and take your rightful place at the throne of God, and you had just a few last words to leave with your disciples, what would they be? Here they are. This is what Jesus considered to be important. And we must receive them with that kind of importance in our lives. So after the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we see in the next chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the infant church rolls up its sleeves and it got to work carrying out Jesus' mandate to make disciples. How did they do it? Well, the first church basically did four things. And those four things are outlined for us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says that they taught, they pay attention to the apostles' teaching. It tells us that they had fellowship. It lets us know that they worshiped in breaking bread together. And they had prayer as well. This is why we exist, church. This is why we do what we do here at Wellspring of Life. Our corporate mission comes straight from God's Word. In fact, if you have never, ever taken the opportunity to go to the website, to the Wellspring of Life website, I would encourage you to do so, because on that website, you will find what the core values of this church is. In fact, Marilyn pointed out to me that in your bulletins this month, they are there as well. To glorify God, when you go to that page, you will find these words, to glorify God through loving and making disciples of all people. Our core values, once again, outlined from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Proclaiming God's word, verse 42. Prayer and communion, verse 42 and 46. Praise and worship, again, verse 42. To provide for those in need, verse 44. To purpose to multiply, verse 47. We believe the church to be a gathering of Christ's followers, who through worship, the teaching of the Word of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, purpose to know Him and to fulfill the call of the Great Commission. That is what you would find on our website. That defines who Wellspring of Life Church desires to be, right straight from God's Word. And so we realize that those four principles is what the early church did, and they got it right from the get-go, and it becomes our example to do as well. And this is what we try to do, and it exists to do in terms of the world in which we live. The other day I was listening to a preacher telling the story of a time that he was out of his town. He was in another city, and while there he was flipping through the phone book looking for a church, I'm assuming to visit on a Sunday that he had off. And as he's flipping through the church directory in the phone book, one jumps out and catches his attention. The name of the church was Church of God Grill. Well, the curiosity got the best of him, so he called that church number, got an answer, and he began to ask questions, because I was pretty curious about the name of your church, Church of God Grill. And so, yeah, uh-huh, and the person on the other end says, we started out as a church, and we found that after service, after a while, we just started serving chicken dinners just to kind of help pay the bills, take care of the financial needs that the church had. In fact, it became so popular, and it done so well, we just ended up letting go of the church service, and now we just serve chicken dinners. So we are Church of God Grill. What? True story, yes, by the way. True story. This preacher who I was listening to, he then, I think, from that decided, knowing and aware of some of the attitude of folks out there, kind of similar to what we saw in the videos this morning, decided to put together in a kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of way some possible church names with possible mission purpose behind those names. Here's the first one that he mentioned, the Hallelujah Entertainment Center. Their mission, here's how they would explain it. We used to do some teaching here, but we wanted to appeal to the general public. So we decided to emphasize a lot of other things that entertain people that would attract a larger crowd. Now we do that mostly. Only a sermonette every now and again. And people don't want to sit and listen to a preacher and learn from their Bibles. They want to be entertained. So that's what we do. And so we are about entertainment. Entertainment is our mission. The second one he came up with was Fun and Games, Happy Chapel. You'd like that one, wouldn't you? We started out determined to genuinely reach today's youth. Once we made them our target, we really reduced the teaching and replaced it with Xbox and video games, individual headsets and big oversized rear projection video walls. Really cool stuff. We don't talk much about Jesus anymore. Well, not directly, because he's offensive to our kids. We want our kids to have a really great time. So that's how we got our name, Fun and Games. That's our mission. A third one he came up with. Us Four and No More God Club. Back when we first got started, we talked a lot about studying the Bible. And we got really serious about reaching out to people who didn't know Christ. As time passed, we began to grow, really grow, and we got to know each other really well. In fact, we decided to form a little club here, and we made it our own people. We prefer to be together. After all, we worked hard to get where we are, to grow like we've grown our God club. So much so, now we're full. We don't have any room for a lot of new people. Truth be told, we really don't care that much about new folks. We notice when they come to our club, they take our parking spaces. They sit in our chairs at our table. They really don't fit in with our group because they're so different. That's why we chose the name Us Four and No More. That's our mission. A fourth one that he came up with, the Feel Good Therapy Worship Church. Our church started out genuinely interested in people. Since everyone has issues and struggles, our emphasis turned to counseling instead of teaching and preaching and stuff like evangelism. Matter of fact, our biggest class is like a group therapy session. We call it, It's All About Me, Adult Fellowship. Designed to helping folks feel good about themselves. That's our mission. Well, the list could go on. I think you're aware of that. Some not as funny as others, especially if it sort of hits home. Acts 2 tells us what our mission should be. It is our point of reference. It is the first time a local church is assembled. And as I said a moment ago, they got it right from the get-go. And they have set a wonderful example for us. Verse 42 gives us the clear directives for the church. And we must have these four elements that I referred to earlier. And if any one of the four are missing and not in operation in any church, it really isn't even a church, okay? We need to understand that. All four must be happening and in practice in order for it to be a truly New Testament church. So let's break it down real quickly. It's teaching the Word of God, of course. How many would agree with me that worldly wisdom and ways of doing things can sound so right sometimes? Isn't that true? How many of you have been there? How many of you have listened to someone give you some really good-sounding advice, but it was no more from God than from the man in the moon? Maybe you even have done that at some point in your life, given counsel, given wisdom that had nothing to do with God. It can sound so right sometimes, but only God's word and ways has the ring of truth. You want to know why? Because it is the truth. Amen? I love what Martin Luther once said. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold on me. I wonder if that is part of the reason why so many confessing Christians today spend no time in God's Word. The next one that is highlighted for us is fellowship. It's the Greek word koinonia. Some of you are familiar with that. And that simply is referring to a commonness that we have with Jesus Christ. We have something in common, and Jesus is that person that links us together. There are those who occasionally will use this verse to say, if you could believe this, they will use this verse to say that the early church was really nothing more than a communist movement. Isn't that crazy? There is a big difference between communism and commonism. You see, communism says, what is yours is mine. Commonism says, what is mine is yours. Part of the reason why we so were excited about giving Taylor and Izzy the opportunity to come and share with you, that you might have the opportunity to share with them in giving of yourselves and seeing the bigger picture of young students who are so lost on the campus of Western State in Gunnison come to know Jesus Christ. It's an amazing opportunity. I love the story that is told that some years ago in London's Hyde Park, where free speech is the order of the day, a communist took the podium, pointed to an impoverished elderly man in the crowd and said, "When the communists are in charge, they will put a new suit on that old man." There was a pastor in the audience. He stood up and he said, "When Jesus is in charge, he will put a new man in that old suit." Yeah. The newly formed church met together daily in the temple, we are told. They met spontaneously in homes. Fellowship, church, is what cements believers to the Lord and to one another. Our commonness in Jesus Christ. And then it talks about worship and communion. The believers joined in breaking bread, which is Luke's term for what Paul called the Lord's Supper. Still, even now, the memorial to the Lord's death until he comes again remains the central theme of believers breaking bread together. It is so important, folks. Communion is vital to the health of the church corporately, just as it is vital to the health of your spiritual life individually. And we need to be aware of that and not take it lightly. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that because they took communion lightly, because they were guilty of that, he charges them and lets them know that it was actually because they were taking it lightly, not seeing it for what it truly needed to be in their lives, corporately and individually, it was the very thing that was causing all kinds of spiritual and physical problems. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so whenever we fail to give worth to the Lord's table, I believe we jeopardize not only our spiritual life, but our physical, our marital, our emotional life, and any other kind of way you want to put into that line. This was a part of their act of worship, as it is ours as well. And then prayer. Their worship also included prayer, undoubtedly referring to both public and private. Prayer, you say? And I've heard people say this, "I don't need to go to a church to pray. I can pray by myself wherever I am." You know, and that's true. You can. In fact, the Bible even encourages us to do so, right? But also we are encouraged to pray together when we gather for corporate prayer. Something beautiful and wonderful happens when we do that. Jesus also spoke of a dynamic, just as well as he did about praying individually, he also spoke about a dynamic that takes place uniquely when we pray corporately. Some of you are familiar with Matthew 18. If you want to turn there real quick, you can look at what Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said about that. It's Matthew 18. I'm starting at verse 18. He says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Great promise, isn't it? I think a kind of a way to illustrate that would be telling the story that I came across about a dad who had his kids come to him. First, his little boy comes up to him, "Daddy, can you take me to the park?" And he replied with, "Well, you know, I'm really kind of busy right now." A few minutes later, his little daughter, 5-year-old daughter, comes up to him, "Daddy, Can you take us to the park? As the guy is telling the story, it's kind of like, see, there they were, little Mary, his daughter, batting her eyes. His little boy, Benny, is jumping up and down. They were in agreement. And as he's starting to break down, his wife walked in. Honey, let's go to the park. He finishes that story with, we went to the park. And so too, church, when we as God's children come to him together saying, Father, this is our desire. This is our prayer. He delights in our requests. I'm not suggesting that we can manipulate or pressure God or gang up on him to do what we want him to do. I am saying that he enjoys and responds to our corporate praying together. And it adds, church, to the health of our church. In his book, The Church Awakening, Chuck Swindoll writes, take notice of our 21st century erosion. Chunk by chunk, more of the preaching and the teaching of the word seems to be dropping off, and more of making people feel good by coming together seems to be taking place, lest we bore them with teaching. While we weren't paying attention, everything became shaken from its foundation. Our world is no longer the world of our grandparents or of our parents, for that matter. While we weren't noticing, things were changing, or perhaps we should say eroding. We slipped from what we used to call a modern world into a postmodern world. Without even realizing it, we've drifted from a Christian era into a post-Christian era, which is why we find ourselves in a world that is less friendly to the church and more than ever disconnected from the Bible. So it's no surprise that today's citizen is more biblically ignorant than people of virtually any other time since the Dark Ages. It is scary to think that while the biblical mandate so clearly given to us in Scripture should be the norm, you would think, it appears that churches that are doing this have and are rapidly becoming more and more of the minority. With God's help, may this never be the case with Wellspring of Life Church. Amen. Amen. May it never be the case. Listen to what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote. When the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to her message, though it may hate it at first. In the Bible, there was a group of clear-thinking, tough-minded guys who were called the sons of Issachar. You can read about them in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. They were those whom verse 32 says, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. May we be men and women with that same kind of attitude and discernment, and display as well an equal supply of courage as we rely upon the Spirit's power to stay true to the biblical mandate that we've been given as a church from the Word of God. I believe with all my heart, when these four principles are in practice, alive and well, it will be the very thing that will keep us steady and help us to remain on track with Christ and the mission and the mandate that he has given us. At this time, we have asked a few people to take a few moments to share with us kind of their story and how it is they came about landing in Wellspring. And so we've asked Danny and Errol and Christine. And so, Danny, would you like to go first? You're coming from the farthest point. Kind of. Errol was right there next to you.
By my standards, it will be brief. I don't know about by his. But the reality is that when I first started coming to Wellspring, at the end of 2012, I was anything but in a saving faith. I was wicked and deceitful and lost beyond all measure. And many of you have heard me say this before, but when I first started coming to Wellspring, I hated it, and I hated the people in it. And that quote from Martin Lloyd Jones, I think, is a great illustration of that truth. I hated it because it was right. I hated it because it was pure, and I wasn't, and I knew it. And that was the case. But thankfully, and pretty soon after that, God, through the Holy Spirit, gave me a regenerate heart. And that came through Wellspring. And I think that's such a huge testimony to this church. But it didn't stop there. Through Wellspring, I took communion for the first time with the saving faith. I participated in the baptism of our Lord. It was through Wellspring that I was introduced to my bride. It was through Wellspring that our wedding was performed. It was through Wellspring that we came to the conviction and love that foster care was something we needed to do. It was through Wellspring that the adoption of my two boys happened. It was through Wellspring that they were dedicated to the Lord. It was through Wellspring that our young Jonathan was dedicated to the Lord. It was through Wellspring that our next child would be dedicated. It was through Wellspring that my parents, my stepmother and dad, received their saving faith and their baptism. It's through Wellspring that I have two good friends that I meet with on a regular basis. And they too, I believe, have received their saving faith and will soon receive their baptism. All of these things through Wellspring. And, you know, Lord Jesus tells us that good trees will bear good fruit and bad trees will bear bad fruit. And in my life, and I know many of your lives as well, Wellspring has done nothing but bear good fruit. And I think that's a huge testimony to this church and to our pastors. And I know that for me and for Megan and my family, we are eternally grateful for this church and everything that this church has done for us. And we thank our pastors and everyone here. And we thank God as well for this church and for the good fruit that has come into our lives and to everyone else's life.
2007. And I was lost, completely lost. I had lost a job, and I felt worthless. And I had two granddaughters, which I still have. They're older now. And I felt like I was being used and manipulated by family and friends to help them out and babysit, and because I didn't have a job. I didn't have nothing. So you can do this for us and you can do that. So I was struggling with things. And I went to Grand Valley Days. And they were handing out bottles of water with a verse on it. and I knew they were at the high school. I mean, I've known Shorty and Dave and the Higueras for years and years and years. And I heard that they were there at the high school, and but I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for church, but I was highly lost and depressed. And I got in my car, and I was going to ride off a cliff or run myself into a wall or a pillar, and I was going to kill myself. And I got in my car, and I made it as far as the high school, which is right. I mean, the high school. I lived right below the high school, so I didn't get very far. And I parked, and I got out of my car, and actually, I locked my keys in my car. And I sat in front of the school on one of the benches, and I just sat there and bawled and bawled and bawled. And he came to me. And I am saved. I've been baptized, and he is in me. I am living for him. And if it wasn't for this church, I wouldn't be here anymore. And I just thank you. I love my women's group I go to. I have a meltdown every now and then. Because I just can't. I have a hard time with doing what I'm told to do by the Lord. I'm a work in progress. And I will continue to work and be the best person I can be for his name. And thank you.
So for me, started a little over a year ago, as I started working and transferred to the hospital. I started working with Danny, and he started telling me about everything that I've done that I used to do in my faith was wrong. You know, because I grew up Catholic, I guess, kind of, and I wasn't really a church goer, but, you know, with Lent and all this stuff, and he was like, no, you're not supposed to do that. No, you're not supposed to do that. Why do you do this? Well, I don't know. You know, so, you know, it all started with Danny, and so I'll always be grateful for Danny. So Carla and I did our own episode of Church Hunters, and, you know, and Danny's like, go check out some churches, blah, blah. So we went to a couple of them, and was like, you know, we didn't really like it. So Danny's like, come over and check us out. From day one, when we walked into the high school, we were welcomed with arms open, the definition of a church family from first, second, and from when we left it, they were like, oh yeah, we're home, we'll be back, and from since then, we, you know, our relationships have grown with everybody here, and the support that we've had from Dave and Shorty, from Vicky and Kenny has been amazing, and from Danny, like I said, and Luke, we meet on a regular basis, and we do our little Bible readings all week, and we talk about it, and just the relationships is just amazing. I couldn't picture myself anywhere else, for anybody else, for any other reason, and, you know, and then last but not least, the most important reason I think why we're still here, and I want Kenny to answer loud and proud, is because God is good, and all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Thank you.
And so we did ask them prior to the service if they would be willing to share. And we do want to, you know, allow if there's anybody here this morning that would like to just briefly share anything, then you're welcome to do so. Okay. Go ahead. Come on up. Katie, and then Jenny, you can go after.
Long ago. I wasn't in the right place at one point. I could tell you a lot of stuff that happened. You know, I'm a teenager, 19, you know, what do. You know, they go to parties. That's what I was doing at one point, even though I was coming to church. And I've been a Christian my entire life, but we stopped going to church. I can tell you that my life has been pretty much like the whole Bible. I truly don't know the Bible very well, but I know one point, and it was when a friend and I were climbing the arches in Rifle, and we were coming down the arch, and there was a point where I wanted to run, but something did not let me run. It was like, just slow down, you know, walk it. And it was because I was telling the guy that I was going to go first, that I was going to win him, but something was just like, no, don't. Next thing you know, I walked past an area, and then the guy told me, come here. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, he's pranking me, something's there, you know, and I get fooled pretty easily. So I went back, and it was a mountain lion. That mountain lion was ready to prey upon us. And somehow we walked it all the way down, and I don't know if you guys have walked that arch. It's not too long, but it's kind of long. And the whole time, nothing happened to us. We got to our car, and we just see the mountain lion run past, like, leave. And I can think of it as, like, the time where Daniel was stuck with the lions, even though it wasn't that long, but I can picture it, you know, how scary that situation was. And nothing happened to me. And then another time where I was at a party, I was pretty drunk. The guy that was driving wasn't, but a car almost ran us over. The guy was pretty drunk. Nothing happened to us. Nothing. You know, we curved the car. And just so many things that has happened. And coming to this church, I feel like my faith has grown, and I can see it because I'm a better person. And for years and years, I've been praying for my dad. And my dad, for the first time, said sorry. I'm 19, and for the first time, he said sorry. And I feel like for me, I was praying, but with no faith. So nothing was happening until I came here, and my faith grew. And just things started happening. And I know that with prayer and faith, things do change and happen. And he's a better person. I mean, he doesn't come to church, but he's watching a series of church, of the Bible on the TV. But, you know, little by little, things are happening. And, I mean, he's stopped his drinking habits little by little. And I feel like that's how God works. And when Megan was preaching the last time, it really struck me. And there was points where I just stopped thinking. I mean, I stopped listening, and it was just thinking. And then I felt like God was just talking to me, where Megan said, either you're a child of God or you're not. And it made me think, like, wow, there's no in-between. There really isn't. And then about the whole baptism. And he was like, you need to baptize. And I told him, I'm not ready. I'm the opposite of what you want in a person. How can I come and do all this knowing that I have done everything that I've done? I haven't been faithful to God. I haven't been doing what he wants me to do. And all I heard was, come as you are, as I came to you the way you are. And that really struck me. And then it's not God who diverts from us. It's us who divert from him. And if it's not too late, I want to get baptized. Want to finish it off with 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And everyone said, amen.
I guess it's a crying morning. Some of you know that about 15 years ago, my life got so messy, and I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. And within a span of about 5 years, my mom got sick and died, and my sister went to prison, and my dad got sick, and I got a divorce. And then Richard and I got together, and we went through some more messy stuff. And I remember where I was sitting Kendall, my son, was playing guitar here, and I remember where I was sitting when I called Dave to ask him if it would be okay if Richard and I came to church here in spite of all the messiness of our life. And he was so compassionate and so accepting, and I'm so grateful for all the growth that Richard and I have both experienced here. And the one thing that I just want to say is that, like, I haven't been a very involved church person in terms of coming to other gatherings besides Sunday morning, and I'm grateful that I haven't experienced a lot of pressure to do that because my job is such that it's very demanding that way. But the point I want to make is that though we be small in size in general, I mean, if you want to just talk about size, the things that happen through Wellspring are not represented by the small size of our number. The things that happen through Wellspring are going on out there in every single one of us, and God is working in mighty ways because of the faithfulness that you guys have shown to bring us together as a body. And I cannot say enough about how much strength I derive from coming and being fed the word and just visiting with everybody, even if we don't talk about the deepest stuff, but just that connection strengthens me to do hard stuff that God is asking me to do, and I'm grateful. So thank you for, I've said this before, that this is the only church that I've been to in my adult life where I have not watched it go through gross church stuff. And that is because of your commitment to be love and light and service. We're not attached to buildings. We're not attached to rules and regulations, that you stay with the most important thing, which is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead and ready and willing to change us and change the world through us. So thank you.
I'm going to try to not cry because I'm a terrible public speaker even when I'm not crying. So my life is a testament to God continuing to call me to do his work. I've been involved in church teeter-tottering my entire life. And really, worship is what kept me continuing to go to church. And I met Luke in Rifle, and he talked about Wellspring, and I came here occasionally, but I fought it. I didn't want to come here. I was in the choir at the Methodist church, and in short, I had no idea what I was missing. And when I fully committed to coming here, my entire life changed. So I can attribute that to my wonderful husband for pressuring me into coming and for finally accepting Wellspring as my family, because it's changed me and made me a better person. So thank you, guys.
Listen, guys, I love this church, and that's evident in everybody's that is shared, and I so appreciate everybody sharing. Here's what I love about Wellspring, in addition to you all and everything we've heard, is that I hope you guys are like me and incredibly grateful and thankful and understand how good it is that we have leaders here who place the importance on this right here and that we're encouraged to be in it. And I'm glad that the focus and the importance is placed where it should be. And if you like that, tell your pastor, all right? Thank you.
We are very intentional with how we do church. We are simple, intentionally. I believe God has called us to keep it simple and at the same time keep it all about. You don't come here to be entertained, amen? Because you don't get entertained, so. Hopefully it is about God's word. Anybody else? If not, oh, here comes Carla.
Okay. Like Errol said, thanks to Danny, we came here. And we were doing things very wrong. And Shorty and Dave didn't judge us for it. And they just pushed us to do better. And July, I'm also getting baptized. But what I love about this church is that they're giving me, I feel so much hunger for God. Where at other churches and places I hadn't felt it. I just have that hunger for God, and I see it in everybody else. And just love everybody.
I don't know that I've ever shared this, but a year ago, there was actually discussion that this church would not exist. It was kind of our time at the schools was running out. It was sort of becoming apparent to us, and we were praying, and I think some of you were aware of that, and we invited you to be praying with us. There was consideration that we would no longer be doing church in Parachute. I'm so glad that didn't happen. And once again, God is good.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.